Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and last night was notable in the New York theater world for a play that did not open as scheduled. It was supposed to be opening night for the play My Name is Rachel Corrie at the New York Theater Workshop. Rachel Corrie, as you may know, is the 23-year-old American activist who was killed by an Israeli bulldozer in 2003 as she was protesting the demolition of Palestinian homes in the Gaza Strip. The play is based on her diaries and other writings. The play is a smash hit in Britain, by the way. It's been running for a year and has already moved to a bigger theater once. Now we understand it's about to move again to the West End. That's London's equivalent of Broadway. As I said, the New York Theater Workshop was going to stage it here beginning last night, but decided to at least postpone the play's run in New York. And that's where things start to get messy. There is a dispute between the theater and the playwrights over whether the intent was to postpone or really to cancel. There is a dispute over whether the concentration of Jews in the theater's donor base caused the theater to self-censor. The play itself is also controversial. Is it too one-sided? Does it edit out moral nuance in some of Corrie's writings to emphasize moral certainty? And does it fail to account for the Israeli version of their Gaza operation, which they say had to do with stopping the smuggling of guns and explosives from Gaza, or the Israeli contention that the bulldozer driver did not know Rachel Corrie was there when she was run over? But with me now is the co-editor of My Name is Rachel Corrie, Catherine Viner, who is also features editor for The Guardian newspaper in London. She's called co-editor, not playwright, because the words are, for the most part, Corrie's own. And I should say that we also invited the New York Theater Workshop to provide a guest, but they declined. Catherine Viner, thanks so much for coming on. Hello.
Hi there, Brian Heiding.
And just to give people a little context, we're going to play a short clip from an event last night at Riverside Church that was held sort of in lieu of this play actually opening. This is a reading of a little bit of Rachel's own writing, read by Lila Buck, an actor and teacher. Let's listen.
Hi, Papa. Thank you for your email. Don't worry about me too much. I still don't feel particularly at risk. Rafa has seemed calmer lately, maybe because the military is preoccupied with incursions in the north. Still shooting and house demolitions. One death this week that I know of, but not any larger incursions.
So, Catherine Viner, in your opinion, why did My Name is Rachel Corrie not open in New York last night?
Well, in a way, I don't think it's a matter of opinion. In the first interview that the director of the New York Theatre Workshop gave, in his reasoning that he gave to the New York Times, he said that the political climate had changed due to the election of Hamas in the Palestinian elections and the continuing ill health of Ariel Sharon, and they wanted to postpone it until the political climate was better. We felt that that was tantamount to a cancellation because we didn't see that the political climate would necessarily get any better anytime soon. And that's why it didn't happen.
But they say that their intent was never to cancel it, that while the political climate may never get better in the Middle East, there always seems to be some crisis from whoever's perspective you're coming from, but that they thought with a recent change in the political climate, particularly with these events that you mentioned, that they needed to do community outreach and that they fully intended to do that community outreach and then stage the play. Do you dispute that? Do you not take them at their word?
Well, there's two things there, I think. One is that this was at very short notice. You know, we had our flights booked and all paid for by the Royal Court. We had the technical schedule in place. We'd mutually agreed a press release that was going to be issued within days. And the tickets were advertised with the dates on your major ticketing, one of your online ticketing websites. So it was not like it was sort of tentatively scheduled and then pulled. This was a definite commitment. And that's why we felt the postponement, the so-called postponement with 4 to 6 weeks notice was just was not enough. You know, that was just not good enough. On the community outreach, I mean, we don't, in Britain, you know, when we do plays, political plays, you know, we don't think, you know, we don't really believe in consultation. We think the plays are works of art and stand on their own feet. You know, you either do them or you don't. I understand that might be different in New York, but it seemed that the polling that was done of communities weren't the whole story. You know, I think that, for example, some Jewish groups were polled, but some Arab American groups weren't. And it's very confusing who was polled and who wasn't. And I sometimes wonder, in fact, if it wasn't really about community outreach, but it's just the theatre had looked on the internet and seen all the misinformation that's published about Rachel Corrie on the internet, and were frightened by that.
Let me play a clip of Lynn Moffitt from the New York Theater Workshop discussing the context of the play and Rachel Corrie's voice allowing for a community dialogue. This is Lynn Moffitt as she spoke on the Pacifica radio program Democracy Now! Yesterday.
We believe in Rachel's voice as they believe in Rachel's voice. We want it heard by a New York audience, but we want the voice heard by the New York audience, not the ancillary events that that can pollute that voice. So that is the purpose of the methodology that New York Theatre Workshop employs when it uses when it develops context for a play. I know context has become a much maligned word in the last few weeks, but that is what we do, because ultimately the purpose of the workshop in producing art is to foster community dialogue.
So, Catherine Viner, how do you respond to Lynn Moffitt?
Quite simply, I think if you want Rachel's voice heard, the easiest way to do that is to put on the play.
Yeah, and so does that mean that you're against community dialogue, you're against context, you're against outreach?
Actually, I think a work of art is a work of art. I don't think it needs contextualization. I think, you know, they stand on their own or they don't. You know, this isn't a piece of journalism. This isn't a piece of modern history. This is a piece of art. You know, I mean, the play is a political play, but that's not all it is. The first third of the play has Rachel going through her journals from the age of 10 until in a teenager, and remembering bumping into ex-boyfriends and problems with friends and trying to find a way to be political as a teenager in Northwest America. You know, it's not all a big story about life under occupation. It's a work of art.
Let me ask you then on the question of the play itself about a critical review of your script published after this controversy broke by Edward Rothstein in the New York Times. I'm going to read a little bit of his article. He wrote, "There is something disingenuous here. In an apparent effort to camouflage Corrie's radicalism and broaden the play's appeal, its creators elided phrases that suggested her more contentious view of things, cutting, for example, her reference to the, quote, chronic insidious genocide she says she is witnessing, or her justification of the, quote, somewhat violent means used by Palestinians." Then he continues, "We are not meant to doubt the thoroughness of her account or to think too much about what she notices but does not explain. Though Corrie went to Gaza with the Palestinian-led organization, the International Solidarity Movement, to act as a human shield and to prevent Israel from destroying Palestinian homes, and though she died while trying to stop a bulldozer, there was no hint about why such demolitions were taking place." He writes, "But dozens of tunnels leading from Egypt under the border into homes in Gaza were being used to smuggle guns, rocket launchers, and explosives as well to wield against Israel. These demolitions often cause controversy even in Israel, but the play's omissions make them seem acts of systemic evil rather than acts that were at very least part of a more complicated and contested series of confrontations." And so he concludes that is where the disingenuousness comes in, not in the stand the play takes, but in how it cloaks it as not really being a stand at all, but only high moral sentiment. What do you say to Edward Rothstein from the Times?
Well, I don't think this writer's seen the play. So, I mean, he's obviously doing it from reading the text, so he maybe hasn't got the full story. It is a work of theatre, after all. I mean, you've made lots of points there. I think one point is that is an accusation against Rachel, you know, that Rachel didn't mention tunnel building or the justifications for demolishing the homes of young families in Gaza. you know, we were using only Rachel's words. This is
well, I think his bigger charge is specifically the opposite, if I understand him correctly, that the way you, as he put it, in an apparent attempt to camouflage Corey's radicalism and broaden the play's appeal, its creators elided phrases that suggested the various things that he brought up.
Yeah, I would absolutely reject that. In fact, you know, you're suggesting that we sort of whitewashed Rachel. In fact, you know, if your correspondent had read the play properly, he'd realize that, in fact, she does, in fact, defend, you know, the Palestinians' armed resistance to Israeli action. Now, that's quite a politically contentious thing. We certainly left that in. The only thing that I could say that we took out that you could suggest that about was her reference to genocide. And I think that's because the word genocide is a very politically controversial term. No one quite knows what it means. There are different definitions. There's a UN definition. There's a colloquial definition. And, you know, Rachel's not around for me to ask her what she meant by that phrase, and that's why I took that out. But I really challenge you to find any other kind of whitewash. And I think rather than looking at so-called whitewashing by this play, I think you'd be better off looking at the smear campaign that's taken place against Rachel Corrie, linking her to tunnels, which is a joke, saying that she was a member of Hamas, which is even more hilarious. That's where we should be putting our political energies.
Why do a play that could be seen as taking a simplistic stand on a complex topic? Why not include something of the moral conflicts within the situation or the Israeli point of view?
It's because this is not a play about the situation in Gaza. This is the story of Rachel Corrie. It's her words. It's her life. It's one woman's life in a play.
But this is what you chose to focus on.
It is, yeah.
Presumably to make a larger point about the Middle East, this one woman's words.
Well, initially we were most struck, actually, by the standard of her writing. You know, it was quite shocking to, first of all, even her emails home from Gaza, which was what we all first saw straight after Rach was killed. We were quite shocked by the brilliance of them, their kind of beauty, their poetry, their impact. But then when we went back to Rachel's family and asked them to give us her journals from when she was much younger, we were again struck by the fact that she really was quite an exceptional writer. And many people who came to see the play who don't agree with Rachel politically are bowled over by the standard of her writing. So that was what we didn't sit down and say, well, you know, shall we write a play about Gaza? In fact, Rachel came to us. She did this brilliant writing, and that's what made us write the play.
But you chose, again, to use Rachel's words to make a larger point, presumably about the Middle East. You didn't choose to Daniel Pearl being killed in Pakistan. You didn't, you know, use his words or a story about that context. So you're trying to make a political point here, which is okay, but that's what you're doing, right?
Well, I mean, I'd be delighted, you know, to see the journals of anybody in such an extraordinary situation. I mean, I think, you know, Rachel was the first person American to be killed in Gaza, and she has an extraordinary story anyway. But what made her different from many other stories is this standard of her writing and the very theatrical performance type standard of her writing. Somehow the images come off the page. They're things that need to be seen on a stage. There's something about the way she writes that means they work particularly well on stage, and that's why she came. You know, we've done this play with her. I mean, if there's other journals out there by other people in extraordinary situations, I would love to see them too.
Catherine Viner, co-editor of the play My Name is Rachel Corrie, which did not open as scheduled last night in New York. Yesterday, the playwright John Patrick Shanley was here, Shanley who wrote Doubt and now Defiance. I asked him about the situation involving your play, and I want to play about a minute and a half of what he said.
The motives of the people who were going to produce this play off Broadway in New York are not adequately known, and I think that they should be aired. It's a very interesting subject, but it highlights a larger phenomenon, which is of an international gangsterism towards the arts at this time. I consider the New York Times not publishing the cartoons about Mohammed to be an act of editorial cowardice and inappropriate. It obviously was major news. This idea of it being sensitive to religion, respectful to religion, not to air differences, not to air slurs, not to air slights, is just giving in to intimidation of different kinds. Now, the theater in New York may not have been afraid that they were going to be killed. They may have been afraid they were going to lose funding from somebody. That I don't know. But I do know that there's intimidation across this country in the arts where plays like Greece are being vetoed by local organizations as being too racy, and cartoons are being called unworthy of publication because religion, the sensitivities of people of a certain religion, trumps the need of people of every persuasion to know. And I think that it has to be looked at. And, you know, there's a certain degree of cowardice involved. And I think people are going to have to get used to the idea that doing these things, like happened to Mr. Van Gogh in the Netherlands, may lead to them being killed.
John Patrick Shanley, creator of Doubt and Defiance. That was quite a statement at the end of that, Catherine Viner, that playwrights and other artists have to take a stand to get their work out there, even if it means in this climate the risk of being killed. What did you think about that?
Well, I was quite surprised to see the linkage between the cancellation of My Name is Rachel Corrie and the Muhammad cartoons, because to me the Muhammad cartoons were specifically commissioned in order to be a racist provocation. And that the origination of the Rachel Corrie play is completely the reverse of that. So I wouldn't talk about them in the same breath.
So are you, but some could hear that as you defending the importance of offensive to freedom of speech, but only if you're on the right side politically.
Oh, no. I mean, I think people have a right to publish the racist cartoons. I just don't think it's right to do so.
Right. You wrote a year ago in The Guardian that the trend in political theater is journalistic.
Yeah.
Where do you see My Name is Rachel Corrie fitting into the context of theater today? You said before you weren't doing journalism, you were doing theater. And then last thing, is there any possibility of reconciliation between you and the New York Theater Workshop and for this to go forward in the future?
Sure. I think when I said journalistic, I mean in a sort of loosest term, really, because obviously if one was writing a piece of journalism about the Middle East, it would be from one side and the other, and there'd be different voices, and you wouldn't do it in the same way. What I meant by the journalistic trend, it's more, I meant more sort of nonfiction and verite and real right. voices rather than fictionalized
15
voices.
Seconds. Can this go forward?
We'll definitely want to come to New York. We've had loads of interest from other theaters, and we'd be delighted to bring the play to New York.
All right. Catherine Viner is the co-editor, called co-editor because the play is in the words of someone else, that someone being Rachel Corrie. The play is called My Name is Rachel Corrie, not playing in New York, but moving to the West End in London. Is that correct?
That's right, yes, from next Tuesday.
Thank you very much for joining us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.